Oldies, 1450 WTHU, The Timinator here, and it is time for another edition of Law Talkin'. Joining me again from my sponsor, Cedar Law, we have Jason Armahaji. Jason, thanks for hanging out again this morning.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, Timinator. Glad to be here.
All right, so today we are going to talk contract law. So when you say contract law, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, we all sort of enter into contracts every day, maybe without even knowing it. Essentially, a contract can be anything where there's a mutually agreed agreement between two parties or multiple parties, and each party is giving something, right? So doesn't have to be necessarily even a written contract, although that's the easiest way to ensure that there's no misunderstandings or that, you know, it's enforceable if there's any disagreements that come up down the road. But it essentially can be, you know, as simple as saying, hey, I'll mow your lawn for $20, right? And that's a contract. That's an agreement between the two parties that I'm going to do this, and in return, I'm going to get this. So probably without knowing it, you're entering into a number of contracts every day. They're just usually the stakes aren't necessarily that.
Okay, so does that mean every time I sign a rental car agreement without reading it, like I'm just like, for me, I have ADHD, so I'll probably just skim it. Does that mean that I'm entering into a contract?
Yeah, so I mean, if you're like signing a lease for an apartment, or you know, you're at a rental car agency and you're renting a car, you know, those are all contractual agreements. And a lot of times, you know, you may be looking at, you know, like a home rental, maybe, you know, dozens of pages. For the car rental agreement, it might feel like, you know, just hundreds of pages of a little tiny print. And so, of course, most people, probably nobody actually reads those. And those are really known as contracts of adhesion. What that really means is that even the courts know that you're not really likely to read those. It's not that they won't enforce them. It's just, if there are, you know, unreasonable elements to those contracts, they'll be much less likely to enforce it, because they know, you know, something that was snuck in there and you just weren't likely to have read it. So, you know, it still does make sense. And I think for your own protection, when you are signing something like a lease or, you know, car loan or car purchase, you know, home purchase, anything that the stakes are high, to consider that, you know, the risk of it going bad, you know, is your entire investment. And, you know, it doesn't take much to have someone help you look it over and make sure that everything there is in your favor, or at least at a very minimum is fair for both.
All right, perfect. And when do you need to sign a contract?
Right. Well, technically, like I said, you don't actually need to have a written signed contract for there to be a contractual agreement. It is a good idea to have a written contract when the stakes are high, when large amounts of money are involved, or things that are of particular importance or value. And, you know, just because circumstances change, right? Like, you might get into an agreement with someone today and think everything's going to go well. But the whole reason that, you know, courts exist is because disputes happen and circumstances change. So if everything stayed the way it did on day one, there would never be any conflict. And by the time you get to that conflict, it's going to be too late to make a change to the contract. The other party just won't agree to it. So the time to get it right is when you're signing the contract. And before you sign it, the important thing is to make sure that the language in there exactly is what you want and represents your interests. So that could be things like an employment contract, you know, a contract for services. You know, if you're a business or even just an individual, when you're signing contracts for things that are potentially large amounts of money or long lasting, it's really important to make sure you know what's in there before you sign your name to it.
Those are some great tips for us. Also, a couple quick questions. What happens if someone in a contract doesn't live up to that signed contract?
Yeah, well, it depends on what's in there. So a contract could have provisions for what happens if there's a breach. So it may say, hey, if you don't make your rent payment on time, you'll be charged a late fee. That might be written into there. If there isn't anything written into there, there could be default laws based on the jurisdiction you're in. So even if that's not, for example, written into a lease, jurisdictions may have rules about the most amount of money that a landlord can charge for mispayment of rent, or, you know, the default amount that they can charge. And if the breach becomes so large that essentially you think that the contract is no longer really being honored, the next step that a lot of people consider taking is some form of either mediation, negotiation, arbitration, or ultimately a lawsuit to compel the other party to do what they said they would do. And that can often involve, if they're not able to, some form of monetary compensation. And ultimately, that's something that you have to think about is, what is the cost of getting that compensation? The easiest way to make sure that you don't spend a lot of money on things like court costs and litigation is to ensure that the contract is what you want upfront. And if things aren't working out, that you try things like negotiation, mediation before getting to that point.
All right. And last one for you. Can you collect damages if a person does not adhere to the signed contract?
Well, you can certainly collect sort of what your particular costs have been. So, if you have a contract for someone to come mow your lawn and they don't perform that contract, right, you don't have to pay them the amount of money. And if you have paid them the money to do that, you're entitled to get that back. There may be a cost to trying to get that back in terms of legal costs, and you always have to weigh that. But if something is particularly egregious, the courts may also say, hey, not only are you going to get back what you're owed, but there could be damages involved if there's some feeling that one of the parties didn't act in good faith or did something that was particularly unreasonable. But in general, when you have a dispute, you're not necessarily entitled to, get something back from the other person in a punitive way. You're really supposed to be made whole. And that's the goal of the contract law system. A lot of times people think, oh, I've been wrong. Someone didn't do what they said they're going to do, and now I'm going to sue them for a lot of money. Typically what you're going to receive if you are successful is just what you're owed.
All right. Well, Jason, this has been great. Now, next time we are going to know what to do when we sign contracts. Well, listen, I appreciate it. And we'll do this again next week, sir.
Thanks so much, Tim. And for any listeners out there who have things in their life that they might, be signing or contracts they may be entering to, whether you go with us or another party, it can be a good idea to get competent legal representation. So we hope you do consider Cedar Law. We serve Maryland, Virginia. We have attorneys in West Virginia and Virginia, as well as DC. So please do reach out at Cedar, CEDAR-law.com, and we'd be happy to help.
There you go. And stick around. I've got a lot more great oldies coming right up.